some observations that I made. Let's go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 42. The book of Isaiah, chapter 42. Amen. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing like going somewhere and building a church. And we've been in a number of places and done that, and it's exciting. It really is. Isaiah 42, verse 1, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him." This is the Lord speaking about Jesus Christ, his Son. "He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God, the Lord, God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein." Amen. One of the things that impressed me about the scriptures in Isaiah, and Isaiah, I think, saw Jesus more clearly than most of the prophets in the Old Testament. But one of the things that he talked about was his ministry. And when we talk about the ministry of Jesus Christ, we're going to look at it here tonight. We don't see a God who came and was born into a palace. We don't see a God who came and was born into the upper echelons of society, but he came and was humble. Amen. The God who created everything became a servant. Amen. And I want to preach about the love of God tonight. And I love this, and it's becoming more and more of a passion of mine. I want to be more like him. Amen. Let's pray together, can we? And let's ask for the help of the Lord. Father, we thank you for the word of God tonight, and we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask you to anoint it, and we ask you to speak to our hearts tonight. Touch us with your holy word. We pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 You can be seated tonight. God bless you. As we look at the Word of God tonight, Luke chapter 11 and verse 42, if you would like to turn there with me, Jesus had a rebuke for the religious people of his day, the religious leaders of his day, the Pharisees, and they were always at odds with each other. And there was a basic flaw amongst the Pharisees in Luke 11 and verse 42, "But woe unto you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone." What we can see here in this particular passage of Scripture is that Jesus never discounted obedience to the law. He brought it down to tithing. And he said, you tithe of the herbs in your garden. When your garden brings forth, you tithe of that. Amen. That would be wonderful. Amen. Especially if you grow tomatoes. Well, praise the Lord. We're going to move on here tonight. Amen. We've been getting some really great tomatoes, and I love fresh tomatoes. Anybody else with me on that? Amen. So if your tomato plant produces 100 tomatoes, then a tenth of it, amen. Praise God. Amen. You'll preach your pastor to death if you do that, amen. But he told him, he said, you're obeying the law down to the minute details. And he said, this ought you to have done. This is something that you should do, and not to leave the other undone. And one of the things that was left undone by the Pharisees of the day of Jesus Christ was that they passed over and really did not have a comprehension of what the love of God meant to them. And I believe tonight that we need to understand the love of God and how God looks at you and I, and how we look at the Lord. Amen. Our understanding of the love of God. I've said it before that God is not a big Santa Claus in heaven, and all we do is ask Him for things, and He gives us things. That's a misconception of the love of God. That's really not love. That is spoiling your children, is what that is, if you give them everything that they ever want. But what we need to understand is the love of God. Amen. Understand the depth and the height and the breadth of the love of God. And what I'm about to teach here tonight, or to preach here tonight, is sometimes difficult for us to believe. It is difficult for us to understand and to get a full comprehension of this. And I say we, I'm including myself, because I think it is very difficult, and I'll show you from Scripture what I'm talking about. But we are unholy, and God is holy. And so there is a vast difference between who I am, who you are, and who God is. Amen. We are very limited in our understanding, but God knows all things, doesn't He? He knows our thoughts afar off. He knows everything about us, and we are very limited. There's a gulf there between us, a gulf of recognition. He knows us, but it is very difficult for us to know Him. We're very low on the scale, but He is high and lifted up, the Bible says. And so, again, there is this chasm between the two of us. And oftentimes the measure that we use to bring His love to us is limited in our understanding. The measure of God's love, it becomes limited. And I hope that I can grow in my knowledge of God. And I hope that this message tonight will help someone, help us all, in fact, to grow in our knowledge of God's love for us. If you're still there in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 1, Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 1, he said, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Amen. And so Isaiah saw him very clearly here, and he said, "To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Amen. Jesus sits on the right hand of God. I know there's not an actual hand of God, but we were created in the image of God, and the hand is what does things. It is the hand that goes to war and brings victory over the enemy. Amen. It is the hand. It is the arm that connects the hand to the body. And here it says, "To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" In another place in the Scripture, it tells us that God laid His arm bare, amen, that He uncovered His arm and He brought salvation to us. And of course, we know that when God laid His arm bare, that it was the advent of Christmas when Jesus was born. And the angel said His name shall be called Emmanuel, which is interpreted God with us. Amen. God revealed Himself. He rolled up His sleeves, if you please, and His arm brought salvation to us. Isaiah saw Him very clearly here, but he said, "To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" And so salvation, or the arm of the Lord in the area of salvation, represents the love of God. Amen. Because salvation, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And so that arm of the Lord represents the love of God. And Isaiah kind of threw up his hands here. He was very frustrated at this point. And he was preaching to a people who were going into Babylonian captivity. And they were about to be destroyed. The temple was about to be destroyed. And you could almost hear him as he prophesies, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" And then he goes on and he begins to describe Jesus Christ. They did not understand nor comprehend the love of God, but he began to describe in verse 2. And I want to read a little bit here tonight, and I want you to see how God did this. Amen. I want you to see what love does in the heart and the mind and the actions of God Almighty. Isaiah 53 and verse 2, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." This is a prophecy again of Jesus Christ. And so there is no form nor comeliness. He didn't have bulging muscles. He was not good looking. And there was no beauty in him that we would desire to look at him. And not only that, the Bible says he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. Everybody said sorrows. Unacquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Now, the Lord was willing to come and robe himself in humanity for the express purpose of saving us. Amen. And that love of God brought him to a world who had rejected him. Amen. To a world that did not want to have anything to do with him. And he came, and I want you to see that he was acquainted with grief. This is God manifested in Jesus Christ, that he was a man of sorrows. And then we go on, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." Not only did he carry the sorrow of rejection by his own people, but he went further, and he carried your sorrows and my sorrows. Amen. And the Bible says, "Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Amen. And you can read all the way down. In fact, I want to go ahead and read through verse 12. Can you all indulge me tonight? All right, you love the Scripture, the Word of God? Amen. He said, "All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he smitten." He did that for you and I, my friend. "And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death." And he was actually buried in a rich man's tomb. "Because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When he shall make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Those are awesome verses of Scripture right there. I think that every now and then we need to just go back and read Isaiah 53. And it kind of gets us back to center, doesn't it? That God who could do anything, God that could come in any form of a man, he could come tall, handsome, debonair, he could come very charismatic, but he chose not to do that because God knew that love was not something that was good-looking necessarily. Amen. Love is not something that is motivated by sight. Love is not motivated by personality. Love is not motivated by good things or giving good things. Amen. We're not going to love God. Now hear me tonight. We're not going to love God because He gives us things. You'll never get to the depth of the love of God. We will never get to the depth of the love of God if we love Him because He gives us good things. He does give us good things because He loves us. But that's not the depth and that's not the motivation for His giving. Amen. If we love God, or we say that we love God because He is kind to us and He is good to us, then our love, He is kind and He is good. He is kind to the unthankful. He is kind to the wicked. Can you say amen to that? He was kind to me when I was wicked. And He was kind to you when you were not living for Him. But He did them all out of love. And He did it that way to show us the depth of love. I believe that tonight. I believe that He came the way He came to show us a deeper love. Amen. To show us a godly love. To show us how we can be more like God. Amen. And I want to be more like God. I really do. You've got a pastor tonight. That is my goal. That is my desire at this point in my life. And I think it always has been. But I really want to try more and more to understand the love of God toward me. Amen. To find a deeper relationship with Him. And He did this out of love, not primarily out of duty, but out of love. And we're never going to serve God out of duty. Amen. You will not give consistently if it is out of duty. Amen. But if it is out of love, praise God. For better or for worse, we say, isn't it? Amen. Because it is not based upon circumstances. It is based upon a love relationship. Amen. It is based upon the depth of love that brings about a quality of relationship. And the Lord has established His side of that love relationship when He came. God so loved that He gave. Amen. And my, what He gave. He didn't give us a new car in the driveway. He didn't give us money in the bank. He didn't give us all of those things. But what He gave us was an opportunity to learn how to love. Amen. He gave us something greater than the riches of this world and something more higher, much higher than any principle that you could find in this world, and that is to know or to see His example of godliness. Amen. Of what it means to be godly, of what it means to be holy. Oh, Lord, we have missed the boat in a lot of places, and I don't say that pointing a finger and being critical because I could fall under the same condemnation if I'm not careful. But we have tried to establish that holiness is an inward thing. Amen. Holiness is God in us. Holiness is the expression of God moving through us. Amen. It is not my holiness. I cannot become holy. Amen. I cannot become holy by how I dress. I cannot become holy by obedience to the law only. Amen. I cannot be holy by my performance to God. Amen. God did not perform so that we would love Him. God came and did what He did truly and simply and purely out of a heart of love. It was love that motivated Him. It was love that drove Him to the cross. It was love that accepted the slap on His face. It was love that caused Him to say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. It was love that healed the sick. It was love that raised the dead. It was love that, yes, even rebuked the Pharisees. Everything that He did it out of love. Amen. And it is the only way that we can really get to the depth that we want to. Oh, to know the depths of the love of God. That's my desire tonight, is to know Him and to have a better understanding of that relationship. Amen. This God that we're talking about tonight, who was and is holy, became sin. Jesus Christ, the sacrifice, became sin for you and I, that we could experience this great salvation. The Bible says, He who knew no sin, He was not acquainted with iniquity. He was not acquainted with lies. He was not acquainted with theft. He was not acquainted with deception. There was no deceit in His mouth. He was not acquainted with any of that. He had never said a curse word. He had never done anything out of the way. And yet they despised Him. And yet they persecuted Him. And then ultimately they killed Him. Amen. And they wanted to do away with Him because they did not understand true love. Praise God. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16. Let's turn there. I want to show you another scripture here tonight. It gets a little bit deeper as we get into this. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. And this is our goal here tonight, to know and to believe the love that God has to us. That's the first step right there. Amen. And the first step is to know and to believe the love that God hath to us. I think that's the beginning. I think when we start out with the Lord and we begin to walk with Him, we can say, yes, I believe that God loves me. And we can sing the song in Sunday school, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. But that is really not a depth of knowledge. It's not a depth of understanding, but we know and we believe the love that God has to us. And then He says, God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Praise God. Amen. I'll tell you, these are powerful scriptures here tonight. We've got to start out with knowing and believing the love that God has to us. But as we go down the road in time, things begin to come along. Amen. The angel choirs are not singing anymore. The shepherds are not seeing angels. Amen. There's not Gabriel and Michael are not showing up anymore and delivering messages, and there's not miraculous deliverance anymore. But all of a sudden, there is criticism. All of a sudden, there is difficulty. All of a sudden, there are trials that come along. Amen. And that is where we dwell in the knowledge and the belief in the love of God. if we dwell in love, not just the love of God, but if we dwell in love, I believe really, like John wrote in so many places about love, amen. He was the one that leaned on Jesus' breast. He was the closest of the 12. And John had this thing about him. He could understand love. There was something about him. He had a compassion for others. He had a true love for his Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And in his older years, he talked about love. And he talked about loving one another. He talked about loving God and the relationship between those two. Amen. What we've got to have if we are going to be solid in our walk with Him is a knowledge of the love of God, the love of God in our lives, and how that is worked out and manifested in our daily lives. All right? That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Look at this. Because as He is, so are we in this world. Amen. And so we have a principle here tonight that if we are going to know the love of God, then that means we're going to have to walk in His footsteps. If we are going to know the love of God, then we are going to have to walk as He walked. Praise the Lord. We're going to have to model our life after Him and be a reflection of Him. Amen. No longer is He the light of the world, but now He said to His disciples, "You are the light of the world." And it is the light of Jesus that's in us that emanates out from us. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. And He said, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment." And I won't deal with that tonight. But we love Him because He first loved us. Amen. And it says, God is love. Everybody said that with me. God is love. God is love. Not God loves, but God is love. It is what God is comprised of. It is one of the natures of God that we can find in Scripture, that God is love. I'm glad that I found a God who is a God of love and not a God of revenge, not a God of destruction, not a God of reincarnation, amen, not a false God, and there are so many that are in our world today, amen, but we have found the one true God, and there is only one God tonight, and God is love. God is love, amen, and He loves you, and He loves me, and when we come to a depth of knowledge of the love of God. I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 3 if you want to begin to move in that direction tonight. We can see that it does not discount sin and rebellion. This God who is love destroyed the world with a flood. But after He destroyed the world with a flood, He said, "I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to go down this road again." Amen. And not that God did not understand this ahead of time, but He showed us here that there is a better way than just destruction. And the flood was a representation. Amen. The world was cleansed by the water. It was a figure of baptism. Amen. They went through that to show us the importance of baptism. Amen. Baptism is so awesome, because it is not judging me, it's judging my sin. Amen. He is not going to destroy me, He's going to destroy my sin. Praise the Lord. He's going to preserve the good and He's going to get rid of the bad. Now that's really the love of God. That is a little bit of an understanding of the love of God. All of us, myself included here tonight, probably me more than anybody here tonight, I need God to work on me big time. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise God. And I'm sorry, Daryl. Amen. But that's what you need more than anything. That's what you need more than anything. That's what all of us need more than anything. I need God to work on me because there's some things in here that I don't like. Amen. If you're proud and you're haughty and you say, I've got it all figured out, you're very foolish tonight. Amen. Because all of us, we fall short of the glory of God, and the glory of God is the love of God. The glory of God is the love of God. Amen. And so we love Him because He first loved us. It is what He is. God is love. And He does not discount sin and rebellion, but it is a love that I've come to, I think I've come to this understanding that it is very hard to go into the depth of the understanding of the love of God. There's some scriptures here that I want to read tonight, Ephesians chapter 3. And as I read the scripture, I got a little bit confused at first, and it made me dig deeper and think and ponder these things a little bit more. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. And Paul is writing to the Ephesian church here, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That's where God wants to work, is on the inside of us. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, that you being rooted and grounded. Amen. The roots of our tree, as it were, of our spiritual tree is love. Amen. Rooted and grounded in love. Amen. And it incorporates faith. Love brings faith with it. That we be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ. Everybody said, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. I looked at that and I said, there's a contradiction there. That was my first impression, to know the love of God. But here it says that we can know the love of Christ, which is past knowing. Amen. How can we know something that is past knowing? And I looked up that word passeth there. It means to throw beyond the usual mark, to surpass, or exceeding, or excel, or to pass. It is beyond. It is beyond the usual mark of knowledge. Amen. And this knowledge of Christ, the knowledge of the love of Jesus Christ, is something that passes knowledge. Amen. I can be filled with all the fullness of God. It says it right there, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. But we cannot be filled with the fullness of God if we don't understand the love of God. If we don't understand the love of God, we will fall short. Amen. The love of God that modifies the way we live, that modifies the way we talk, the way we walk, the way we interact in our world. Amen. And to know the love of God, which passes knowledge. Amen. Imagine this, to be filled with the fullness of God. I wonder, I don't want any hands here tonight, but I wonder how many of us have gotten to the place in our walk with the Lord where we can say, I have the fullness of God in me. The Apostle Paul, who wrote this, in another place he said, I have not attained, but I am striving, I am reaching for that place where I can know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. I think that's about as close as we're going to get to understanding the complete knowledge of the love of God in our lives. Amen. To be conformed to His passion and to His sufferings. Amen. That I may be able to attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And so he says here, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Amen. This knowledge tonight is too high for me. Amen. But I can have it if I will seek for it. Praise the Lord. Maybe you can title this tonight, The Ramblings of the Pastor. Amen. But I just feel this here tonight. And this morning I was studying. This all came to me this morning, early this morning. And it's a goal that I'm reaching for. I want to have more of God in me. I want to be able to hear His voice more. I want to be able to understand His will for my life. Maybe I'm the only one here tonight that feels that way. But I'm telling you, just memorizing Scripture, adhering to the Bible standards of holiness in our dress and in our lifestyle and all of that, it eventually becomes a mechanical thing. It eventually becomes a lifestyle, and we can do it and not even realize what it is that we're doing. Folks, we can do that with our worship. We can do that with preaching. Amen. We can do that in every aspect of what we do in the kingdom of God. And don't misunderstand me tonight. These things are very important. But it is more important that we know why we are doing these things. It is more... Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. It is more important that we approach it with the right spirit and attitude. He did not give me the understanding of His love so I could destroy somebody else or so that I could condemn someone else. No, no. God is the only one that can condemn. Amen. It is my job to strive to be like Him. And when we see Him, He found the woman in adultery. And He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He was not smoothing over her sin, but He was showing His love. Amen. Love gives a second chance. Love gives a third chance. Love gives a fourth and a fifth and a tenth chance. Amen. And what we must have tonight is an understanding of what we're doing and why we're doing it. Amen. If it's for any other reason than for love, it's not going to last. It's not going to last. Amen. If you want a friendship that lasts for a long time, you've got to love that person. And that covers an awful lot of knowledge, doesn't it? Covers a lot of different things. Amen. This knowledge is too high for me here. He said it passes knowledge. But He said, I could have it. Amen. And so I look at other scriptures here tonight. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 4. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 4. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him, but whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. And so we can come to the knowledge of the love of God by our approach to the commandments. Amen. Our approach to the commandments. Praise God. Gavin, our approach to prayer. I appreciate you coming. He came with his mother, and Garrett was here last night, and we prayed a little bit here at the church. And I hope it never gets to the place where hope we get this done quick and then I can go do some other things. Because I'm telling you what, prayer is not a curse that God put upon us. Amen. I'm thankful God delivered me, but I used to pray the rosary. And I'd pray in Our Father and another Our Father and another Our Father and then a Hail Mary. And oh, all of these little beads, and each one was a prayer in itself. And I thought, dear Lord, I got to get all the way around the circle and go up the thing to where the cross was. Once I get to the cross, that's the X. Amen. I'm finished with this. It didn't change me. It didn't make me love God anymore. There wasn't anything to it except a routine. Amen. And it's as Jesus said, don't let your prayers be repetitious, and don't get to the place where you think that by your much speaking you're going to be heard. No, it's more than that. Amen. It's so much more than that. It is coming to the one that you love and sitting down and talking with them. Praise God. It is more. It's so much more. And John wrote about it here. Amen. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. Amen. And the truth is not in him. And we've seen that. There are those that come, some maybe even here tonight, and come and worship and go through all the motions and say the right things and all that. But when you walk out the door of the church, you're not living for God. And you're not doing what's right. You're actually setting up a lie in your life, where you're one thing at church and another thing outside of the church. You know what? That's not the way to do it. Amen. That's not the way to do it. You'll never get anything out of your life by telling lies. You're never going to gain or get ahead. You're going to lose your reputation, and people will know that you can't be trusted. Amen. And more than that, we want to know that God trusts us. Amen. I don't tell lies to my wife. She hasn't caught me in any lies because I haven't told any. Amen. You know why? Because I wouldn't want to hurt her. I wouldn't want to hurt my relationship. Amen. It's more than just doing what's right or doing the right thing. No, it's got to come from a right motive and a right reason. Amen. And the right motive and the right reason is love. Praise the Lord. God cannot lie, can he? Why can't God lie? Why is it that God can't lie? Why can't he tell an untruth? I'll tell you why. Because God is love. And love does not have the capacity. It is not in the bosom of love to tell a lie. Amen. And so God cannot lie. It is impossible for him to lie. Why does it say that God cannot be tempted with evil and that God does not tempt anyone with evil? Why is that? How is it that God has limited his ability to do these things? It goes back to that same principle of the nature of God. God is love. And love is not going to set up a situation where someone would be tempted and fall. Amen. It is the devil that tempts. The only thing that's opposite about God and the devil is that God is love and the devil is pure hatred. Pure self. Amen. He's only thinking about himself, and so it's easy for him to tempt people because all he wants to do is get something from them. He is the father of lies because he stepped out of the realm of the love of God. Amen. And so as we live for God to understand the law, the love of God, John says we keep his commandments. Amen. Whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. That doesn't mean we start out knowing what the love of God is, but as we obey the commandments of God, amen, as we give, after a while you're going to say, why am I giving? You're going to think about it. After a while you're going to say, why do I give? Why do I go? Why do I pray? Why am I doing this? There's things that are going to come along that are going to perfect you. If you have the love of God, your love is going to be perfected. And there's going to come a time when the tempter is going to come and say, your prayers are hitting a brass ceiling. Might as well give up praying. Don't pray anymore. And you've got to come back down to that same principle over and over again. Why am I obeying the commandments of God? Why do I take the time and the energy to build a church and have church services and teach Bible studies and go through all of the things that we go through in trying to disciple people and help people. It comes down to that in the ministry. There's going to be a lot of opportunities in the ministry for you to question, have I actually been called by God? And usually those times are not when everything's on a high. It's usually when it's on a low. Amen. And when we're at that low point, we go back to the very simple basics of it. Amen. I'm doing this because I love God. And He has asked me to do this. And I'm doing it because I want to please Him. It is the motivation of love that will bring us to this knowledge. Somebody said, praise the Lord. And then the second principle. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. This is a mirror of John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He, this was God, laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Praise God. Praise God. We perceive the love of God because He laid down His life for me. Oh, God loves me because He saved me, turned my life around, delivered me, healed me, whatever the situation is in your life. Amen. God proved His love by going to the cross of Calvary. He proved His love by reaching out to me. We were talking about it last night in Bible study. Brother Mike is coming to more and more understanding of the Word, and he said, now I've come to realize that when the Lord brought me here, He brought me to the true church. Could have ended up somewhere over here or somewhere over there, but I'll tell you what, God brought me to the true apostolic faith. There's only one God. Amen. There's only one way to be saved. Only one way to be born again. Praise God. It's an awesome understanding. I've come to that myself. I could have ended up, well, God help us. I could name some names here tonight. But I could have ended up in another church. You know, I could have ended up where they said that once saved, always saved. I could have ended up anywhere. Amen. I remember when I was a sinner boy, I went to a concert, Seals and Croft concert in Wichita. And after the concert was over with, they said, we are of the Baha'i faith, and we would like to talk to anybody interested in knowing more about our faith. And I showed up, and I listened, and I asked questions. I was searching, and I was looking. I could have ended up as a tree hugger. Amen. One with nature, and they go out and they hug trees. There was a couple guys that I grew up with. They ended up as tree huggers. And I was witnessing to him. I said, well, what happens when you hug the tree? Do you feel anything? He said, oh, I get caught up in visions and I see things. Really, what do you see? And he described it all to me. It's demonic. A tree's not going to save you. You're not going to know God by hugging a tree. No, you need to find God and hug Him real close and keep Him real close so you know that when the vision comes, it's from God. Amen. He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And so what we've got to come to is not just obedience to the commandments of God, but why and do we love one another? Let that sink in a little bit here tonight. Amen. When a visitor comes, do we go over and want to make them feel comfortable because we care about them? We don't know that individual. We don't know where they're coming from. And sometimes it gets a little scary. We was here praying one night and somebody came in and they were kind of acting kind of crazy. Amen. And some of us kind of, our hackles came up just a little bit. And the Lord worked it all out. But you know what? That man needs God. He needs the Lord in his life. And if we don't have compassion on others and we don't love the brethren. The brethren, that's the brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. We should not have aught against one another, because God does not have aught against us. Sister Glenda, he went to Calvary for you. Chris, he went to Calvary for you. He went to Calvary for this little boy right here on the pew that's already asleep. Daryl, he went to Calvary for you. Melissa, he went to Calvary for you and for your daughter that's sleeping on you today. He went to Calvary for you, Elizabeth. Amen. He went to Calvary for each and every one of us. No matter how different we are, no matter what personality we have, no matter where we're coming from, God cuts through the personality. God cuts through the talent. God cuts through the abilities. God cuts through everything, and he looks at the heart, and he says, I love you. I created you in my image, and when I see you, I want to see me. And so I believe tonight that to know the love of God, we must walk in the footsteps of God, and we need to practice being like God. If it means suffering, then I'm going to suffer. Amen. If it means being cast aside, then it means being cast aside. Amen. If it means getting praise from others, well, then that's a part of it as well. But there's a whole spectrum here tonight when we talk about this. God help us. We've got to know why we're living for God. We've got to know how to live for God. Amen. And what is the right way and what is the wrong way? Amen. We ought to lay down our lives. Praise God. You know what? That makes it easy for me to teach a Bible study, because that's not laying down my life. That's not giving up my life for somebody else. We talk about ministry a lot. As a minister, you talk about ministry. You talk about it to your friends, other ministers, and so on and so forth. And ministry is just that. Amen. It is ministering to others. It is having people in your life that you are ministering to. It is going out of your way and taking your time. And really, your time is your life, because we only have so much time. And so we have laid down a portion of our life to help others when we go and we teach and we reach and we preach and all the things that we do. But it's not just the ministry, quote unquote, but it is for all of us here tonight, amen, to learn how to have compassion on others and to learn to look beyond the outer and to look in and say, is there something in there that's crying out for God? There is something in there that's crying out for God. I got a phone call, I believe it was Monday night. I forget, the days are going by so fast. We need to talk to you. We need some counseling. We need some help. Never saw these people in my life. They came to the church. We sat down in the office and we talked. We talked for about 2.5 hours. And I could look and read the story, and I did a little bit. I said that probably this and this and this is happening in your life, and their eyes got wide, and they said, "Yeah, it's easy to see after you've seen it a number of times. It's easy to understand where people are kind of coming from, and it's easy to put people in categories." Hear me tonight, folks. It's easy to put them in categories. But Jesus didn't put them in categories. God so loved the world that he came and gave and went. Amen. He came to the religious hypocrites. He came to the sinners. Amen. He came to those that were righteous. He came to everybody. He did not discriminate. Thank God for that. He did not measure them and say, you're good enough and you're not good enough. Oh, God, help us. We've got to be more like God and fall in love with his love. Amen. And to model our lives the way he was and the way he is. God is love. Amen. And I desire so much for people to say of me, he loves people. Amen. God help us. We've all failed in this. And we've stood up on our high horse. I know I have. And I've said, well, this, this, and this, and this. You need to get this straightened out. But you know what? After I get done, I say, what do I need to straighten out in my life? What do I need to get straightened out? Before I can go and tell everybody else where they're wrong, I've got to get me straightened out. Praise the Lord. But once I do, then I can fall in love with other people and I can help other people. Praise the Lord. And do it because I want to be like Him out of an understanding of love. Amen. I'm finishing here tonight. But the Bible talks about the church in Philadelphia, Revelations chapter 3. Sister Reed, would you come tonight? Revelations chapter 3, and it just came to me during the service here tonight, and I wrote it down. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7. And the word Philadelphia means brotherly love. That's what they call Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the city of brotherly love. But brother, don't get caught in Philadelphia at night. Because it ain't no city of brotherly love. I've been in the ghettos in Philadelphia, and you can feel the spirits everywhere. They are there, big time. And to the angel in the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength and have kept my word. There's the commandments. And hast not denied my name. There's loving him for who he is. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them which dwell upon the earth. And he goes on and he says more positive things. Well, let's just finish it here.